Creator God, may what we say and do in this hour bind us closer to your spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. For a week, I've been anxious to tell you this story. I was flying home from Chautauqua last Saturday, discouraged that I had not progressed very far on the sermon for today, that having been away for 2 weeks, the responsibilities of business would be overwhelming, and wondering what I was thinking that I could possibly fit this into my summer schedule. In my aisle seat before taking off, I'm looking at the sketch of ideas I had written a week ago and not feeling particularly inspired. I had a basic scheme of 3 points in mind, sprouting from a title, A Flower by Its Nature Blooms, which I had stolen from a woman astronaut I had heard speak that week. And when I saw her in the hotel lobby, she told me that she had taken it from the color purple. I digress. But the 3 points I had in mind, that flowers, people able to hear?
I can't, and I think I'm getting deaf.
Oh, okay.
I'm being very selfish.
Okay. Okay. The 3 points I had in mind were that flowers, by their natural bloom, their natural determination to take root in often hostile environments. Point number two, the role of cultivation, or in the human analogy, that what we cultivate in ourselves and find an inner peace to allow the blossom process. And the third point, synchronicities, the God moments along life's way that shift our course a degree or two, without which we might have missed our purpose, fulfillment, our mission, our blossoming, so to speak. The serendipities that are just coincidence until the awe and realization of the slim chance of them just being random luck, and then becoming receptive to those serendipities and trusting expansion. But back to my Southwest Flight 5832 aisle seat, just behind the exit row, I noticed the man across from me was reading the Chautauqua newspaper. The coincidence really got my attention, so I waited for my opportunity after he finished that and the New York Times, glasses off, about to close his eyes. Excuse me, are you on your way home from Chautauqua? He blinks, no response. So once more, pardon me, are you on your way home from Chautauqua? He lights up. I'm relaxed. There will be no apology for his interrupted repose. The lively conversation lasted the whole flight, my Japanese lunch now completely cold, my tea snatched back for landing without a sip gone. Clearly, for his 34 years at Chautauqua, he had valued his experience being an ear and a voice in a community purposing the manifestation of peace, justice, love, diversity, and inclusion, as well as art, music, dance, and recreation. I appreciated the affirmation that although affluence has found Chautauqua, people flock from great distances to stretch their minds in the 145-year-old tradition there. When we got to the where do you live part of the conversation, he says, outside of D.C., and you? I said, Long Island. He said, oh, I had parishes in Garden City, Laurel Hollow, and Manorville. Clergy? Yes, Presbyterian. You must know Tom Phillip. Know him? He was at my wedding. He supported me when the Presbytery was roasting me for my too inclusive views. I visited his ministry at CW Post, and at the end of the flight, he handed me a hastily written note to ferry to Tom, and the two of them had enjoyed this great reunion. Somewhere in the course of that conversation, my doubts about convincing you of value, relevance, and realness of synchronicity vanished, and that is the story. So, flowers by their nature bloom. Did anyone else notice that in our front garden, protected by an eager butterfly bush, there is now a blooming Easter lily? In its former life, it did its thing for the Easter passion and was then cast aside. Unwanted, without a bloom, greenery turning yellow, left for dead. I planted it last year, gave it a chance. Lo and behold, this week, white, slender, fluted blossoms, yellow stigma gilding its glory, smelling as Easter and fresh as ever. Flowers by their nature bloom, and in all the hard places, plunging through pavement cracks, appearing in burned out forest, hanging from cliffs. How do they get there? How do they do that? Secretly becoming through the frost, drought, knocked down by hail and starting over, I have a little plant hospital, an area tucked behind my clothesline, out of sight, where I put plants to rest that don't do well with my best efforts. It's a constant reminder to me that none of the splendor is my doing. Just left alone to their own nature, they often flourish. And flowers bloom by their nature. Lilies burst into lilies, not roses. Not a single daffodil on a delicate poppy stalk. Each God-given potential becoming what it was meant to be when the time is right. And so it is with us. There is a divine spark, divine plan, evolving in each of us, waiting for its time to bloom. Season to season of our lives, day to day, new blossoms swell and burst forth. Pretend we have a PowerPoint projection here with a time-lapse photography, the vine pushing through the soil, bursting open to flag in the breeze. It makes it look so simple. Just squirm through the soil and bloom. But scientifically broken down to all it takes for that to happen, temperatures and pH stimulating enzyme production necessary for cellular multiplication, becoming a cotyledon, which mysteriously knows geotropism and heads for the light source, just for starters. Oh my. So it is with us. We are not cut flowers carefully arranged in a Tiffany vase. You can't have the blossom without the roots. The flower is the outward display of a successful process, reproduction of creation. Our blossom is witness to the splendor and variety of God-given human talents and purposes. Exactly what does bloom and come to fruition in our lives depends on a balance of at least two things. What is meant to be by our nature, so to speak, and what we cultivate. I'm not a fatalist, supposing that an interventionist God stamps in steel our purpose on earth. Think more like our genetic code, 80% of it unchangeable. Despite their alleged genetics in the movie Twins, Danny DeVito will never become Arnold Schwarzenegger. But 20% is epigenetic, which means how lifestyle choices influence genetic expression. For a quick example, diabetes and pre-diabetic conditions are burdening our healthcare system. But few people are genetically destined for diabetes. They just inherited their parents' eating habits, not a deadly genetic code. So to a huge extent, what we become, we cultivate. But we were created a little different from plants. Not only can we move to protect ourselves, we have a creator's gift of intelligence, knowledge, discernment, imagination, and intuition. That gives us choice and a fully acknowledged dark side. The ritual of confession in our liturgy reflects that time-honored fact and is so relevant to our worship with God. The complexity and conflict of human existence can be a heavy weight on the soul, weeds choking and challenging our inward experience, from the mundane stress of traffic, the dogs, money, aging parents, to the deep disconnect that visits everyone sometimes. The fog of, I just can't get with it, blah, feeling of not much worthwhile. Feeding or wanting to, your not hungry stomach because your soul is hungry. Give us this day our daily bread. We don't refer to wheat, but food for the soul. Inner peace needs to be as purposely cultivated as the health of the flesh and taking care of our bodies. We can only bloom by our nature. Squeeze an orange and orange juice comes out, never milk. What comes out when you get squeezed? Recall moments when quickly, spontaneously, you offered outrageous kindness to a stranger. It feels good later to know that that was in you. Recall also a moment of words spoken angrily in haste. At least I have them, and they haunt me. I don't like to think they reflect my inner self. From Proverbs this morning, God blesses everyone who has wisdom and common sense. Think the wisdom of knowing your own heart. It is worth more than silver, much richer than gold, more precious than jewels. Wisdom makes life pleasant, leads us safely along, and is a life-giving tree and source of happiness. Happiness is a virtue. Pleasure is a discipline, both too much and too little. We'll get back to the common sense feature right after I nail my third point here about the nature of our blossoming, God's plan for each precious life or maybe a series of age-appropriate purposes. Discovering it may be the ultimate treasure hunt, or we may find it lying right in front of us. The purpose is not written in the big book at the desk of the pearly gates so that we can reference it and keep moving until we stumble upon it whole and intact. And remember, if you want to hear God laugh, tell her your plans. You can laugh. That was supposed to be funny. I do not worship in fear a God that arranges life like a helicopter parent pushing a child to a goal of the parent's choosing. I do love a God who lays before us, by mere synchronicity, the opportunity to change our lives and the world. The aha moment of being at the right place at the right time. The series of small 1-degree changes that together may bring to fruition what we could not have imagined. God uses evolutionary and developmental processes, but will surprise us with suddenness. Carl Jung calls this synchronicity being with time, a turn of phrase that has a soothing grace to it. He says, the more you look for synchronicity, the more you see it. On this Sunday, do we have a memorial service for the stories of what God used to do? Or does God still move us closer to what he has in mind for us? Where some see grace, synchronicity, and opportunity in every step they take, others see only obstacles and proclaim on their bumper sticker, same day, same manure. It's the blooming thing again. We become what we cultivate. Perhaps the same day crowd could change to same day, same fertilizer and use it in their life's garden. Our young Peace Prize winner this year brought a beam of light to my own thinking on world peace. From taking it from how are we going to get the job done, always taking on as a task, to a different perspective, affirming that non-interventionist God, whose work here on earth is our own. Without a blossom of inner peace, how can you drop rose petals everywhere? Without roots of inner peace, how can you sow seeds of peace in the world? One cannot create what cannot be visualized. Owning an inner peace enables you to step into the world with your heart, not your fears, and grow towards expanding that peace beyond yourself. Which brings us back to the common sense part. I'd like to share a method for the faithful gardener of the inner experience. This technique is based on the collaboration of Dorsey, who wrote The Healing Power of Prayer, and Carolyn Miss, who is a well-known medical clairvoyant. Think of it as mental flossing to calm the irritation of grit that can run interference with inner peace. They take the sacraments common to Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, and their common symbolic threads, combine them with the body chakras of Eastern tradition, and address the needs of the soul at different stages of development. Exercising this ritual of guided meditation can be freeing from the clutter of a complex world. It is like praying for those who cannot find the words, meditation for those who cannot find the quiet. So pardon my audacity to ask for your participation in an experiential exercise. I'm offering the chance if you just go with me on this one. We'll do just 3 of the 7 sacraments that they work with, a short cycle for cultivating an inner nature. I've shaved each down to a theme, a focus, and a symbol, hoping it still has enough integrity to open a door for you just a little. I'll give you a short explanation, and then we'll try doing it. The first one is baptism, the theme of which is all is one. I'm using the Christian sacraments because they're the ones I'm familiar with. They do list the Jewish ones and the Islamic ones, but they're words that don't ring true for me and probably not for you, so we're sticking with the Christian version, although everything else is the same. The theme of this is all is one, the inescapable wholeness of life. Its focus is our physical body, its needs, the relationships we're born into. That's your family, your tribe, what you associate with, whether it's the New York Mets or being American or whatever it is, Swedish. And your moment in the timeline of history. It acknowledges the role of a barn across cultures as a symbol of fertility, prosperity, organization, and cultivation. And its symbol is mother nurturer, and turns away the shadow side of victim, despairing dependency. The second one we'll do is communion, theme of which is honor one another. The focus is the balance between the pursuit of physical needs and connection to creativity, joy, and abundance. The symbol is the empress, who enjoys and respects the physical world. The shadow side is the martyr, deprives herself of simple pleasure, self-punishing, full of guilt, and projects it on others. Know any of those? That's not the one I want to be. The last one we'll do is supreme unction, the theme of which is grace. The focus, again, that all is one. The symbol is the wise one who identifies divine as a substrata of being. The shadow side is the egotist who believes they are separate from the greater whole and that their striving controls the outcome of their life. And the theme, by surrendering fears and burdens to a higher power, we cope more calmly with loss, separation, and pain. Honoring the guiding spirit allows gratitude for how life unfolds. Experiencing oneness of life, all is seen as one. All is seen as yourself. Everything is seen as yourself. So if you're a sport, for a quick run through of guided imagery, close your eyes. Remember that the person near you has also closed eyes and won't see what is happening outside or inside you. Focus on a misty violet light behind your eyes. Draw a deep breath and release it. Relax your hands. And here we go. Baptism. Focus on a red barn-like cube at the base of your spine. Baptism. All is one. I feel my strong legs firmly connected to the good earth, to my roots, and all it has taken to bring me to this moment in time. Think about your life experiences, the efforts of generations that preceded you, that enabled you to be at this moment in time. I reach beyond to all creation, rivers, oceans, mountains, moons, to all relationship, to all that sustains me. I am part of all there is. From the great abundance, my needs have been met. I nurture myself by cultivating constancy, stability, and wholeness, structure to support me through change. I have the stamina to say yes to my dreams. My barn is full, organized, secure, creative, dreams realized. I trust in the basic goodness of life. Communion. Focus on a pumpkin-colored glass bowl seated in your pelvis. I anchor my life on vitality, doing what I love. Life without a dream makes us old and ugly. I anchor my life on pleasure as a discipline. I allow goodness, pleasure, and ease, passion, and poetry. Life is not only a task. I anchor my life on deservedness. A monster deprived of creature comforts becomes irritable and grouchy. Life is not meant to be always uncomfortable. I anchor my life on abundance, great gratitude for all there is, the wind, the rain, the sun, the earth, for chance at life itself. I balance work and ease, pushing and letting go, prosperity and charity, abundance and enough. I allow the experience of food and fasting, exercise and rest, recreation, touch, expression, fun, laughter. The Empress delights in the ride. Supreme Unction. Imagine the overflowing cup of enlightenment sitting on top of your head, a chalice always refilling, spilling over, flowing like a fountain to your feet. Supreme Unction. By grace given and grace received, all is one. Live in the present moment. Let the dead bury the dead. The past is over and gone. All things can be made new. Seek creativity, see beauty, choose kindness, be love. Trust expansion, stay receptive. We are not living life alone. God creates and inspires us, loves and guides us. All there is part of me. Let the great abundance flow generously through me, around me, beside me, beneath me, before me, beyond me. When you're ready, you may open your eyes. I believe we have two lives. One we are given, the other one we make. A chance at life at all is a precious and wonderful thing. And if we do not achieve a greater perfection, that alone is enough. When God said, "Be fruitful and multiply," perhaps the intention included, "Be fruitful, multiply and share your gifts and talents. Bring to blossom the fruit of what it is to be fully human." Let it be so. Let God's people say, Amen.